Tentor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Hard Call by Max Walker. Narrated by Greg Boudreau. 1. Zane. The heater in my office offered some refuge from the biting New York City winter outside, and still my blood ran ice cold. I pushed my chair back and stood, grabbing the photo on my desk. My eyes went over every single morbid detail as if I had to etch it all into my memory, as though I didn't have four other similar photos already burned into my brain. "This happened yesterday?" I asked Andrew, my assistant.
"Mm-hmm,"
he said. I glanced up at him, seeing him looking as uncomfortable as I felt. His arms were crossed tight across his chest, covering the Nike logo on his black sweater, like he was creating a protective barrier around himself. He knew what this meant. He understood the nightmare that was riding into town on a skeleton horse. My eyes went back to the photo. They were taken in the victim's bedroom. An unmade queen-sized bed sat in the center of the room, which was sparsely furnished with a few different IKEA pieces and some hand-me-down dressers. The white and black striped comforter was soaked through in dark red. The man was lying face up, wearing nothing but a pair of black briefs, his arms out and his legs together as if someone had been above him, straddling him. His eyes were shut, his face a pale blue. From his forehead sprouted the hilt of a knife. The signature. I already knew it was an 8-inch serrated blade, sharp enough to cut through bone as if it were warm butter. The hilt was made out of ivory, white, and carved with thick spirals running down the entire length. A horn. I dropped the photos on the table and peeled my eyes away from them. For a moment, I thought I would be sick. The waffle and coffee I had hours earlier rolled around in my stomach. I walked to the window, pulled open the latch, and lifted it up. Immediately, the sound of the New York streets erupted into the room as though an orchestra had suddenly started playing outside. Honks and shouts and laughs all blended together. Buses coming to a stop from surrounding streets, sirens fading into the distance. I looked outside, seeing people walking and going on with their lives, wearing their thick coats and heavy scarves. There was still some dirty snow piled up on a few corners, but for the most part it had all melted away. A lady walked with her golden retriever, both wearing matching sweaters. I took a breath. Somewhere out there, past the crazy sweater lady and the crying baby and the honking cabs, somewhere, the serial killer who had terrified the gay community years ago was coming back, out from whatever hole he had crawled into. Someone who had completely ripped my life in half and set it on fire. He was coming back out of a hole I had previously thought was his grave. But I was now realizing we had all been much too optimistic.
"Could this be a copycat?" Andrew asked. His voice was shaky.
"Maybe," I said, knowing the chances were slim. "But that crime scene is exactly like the old ones, down to the brand of underwear he puts on the victim and the pose they're left in. The sheets look the same, too. It's all the same, and we know how obsessed this monster was. Is. Shit. I can't believe he's back." Sleep tonight would be difficult to find. I wasn't normally shaken by things. It was one of the main reasons I'd gone into my line of work. I was a detective because I could look past the gruesome and see the answers when others couldn't. The figurative writing on the wall was literal for me, and the script was done in blood. It was why I opened up my own investigation agency 10 years ago, Stonewall Investigations. We were an agency that worked primarily with the LGBTQ community, since, statistically speaking, they were less likely to report problems to law enforcement over fear of discrimination. Of course, we took on cases from anyone who walked in through the door, but I was happy to offer a place specifically for those most scared to come and find help. And I'd seen plenty of shit in those 10 years. Most of our cases weren't as dark as murder, but some were. And those all stuck with me. But this set of murders hit much closer to home than any.